But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with the tantrum heard round the world. Move on to the big reveal of who's actually running Doge. And follow all of that up with an update to our ongoing docuseries, Why Republicans Think Their Constituents Won't Notice They're Cutting Benefits. Let's begin, shall we? Well, it looks like World War III is going to start with a tantrum rather than some grand military action that garners public sympathy. But was that the plan all along? And if by chance you don't know what I'm talking about, this happened in the Oval Office last Friday.
The visit had started with a cordial handshake and kind words.
It's an honor to have President Zelensky of Ukraine.
Both leaders had planned to sign a deal giving the U.S. access to Ukraine's rare earth minerals, designed to pay back the U.S. for billions of dollars in aid. Zelensky also arguing the U.S. must offer security guarantees in any ceasefire deal.
That's why we will never accept just ceasefire. It will not work without security guarantees.
Soon, the meeting took a sharp turn when Vice President Vance mentioned talks with Russian President Putin.
The path to peace and the path to prosperity is maybe engaging in diplomacy.
That word, diplomacy, prompted Zelensky to interject that Putin had broken a ceasefire before.
What kind of diplomacy, JD, you are speaking about? What do you mean?
I'm talking about the kind of diplomacy that's going to end the destruction of your country.
Yes, but if you
Mr. President, with respect, I think it's disrespectful for you to come into the Oval Office and try to litigate this in front of the American media.
The exchange devolved quickly.
First of all, during the war, everybody has problems. Even you, but you have nice ocean and don't feel now, but you will feel it in the future.
You will not have war. Don't tell us what we're going to feel. We're trying to solve a problem. Don't tell us what we're going to feel.
I'm not telling you.
Because you're in no position to dictate that. Remember this.
You're
in no position to dictate what we're going to feel. You don't have the cards right now. With us, you start having
cards.
Right now, you don't have
cards.
You're playing cards. You're playing cards. You're gambling with the lives of millions of people. You're gambling with World War III. You're gambling with World War III. And what you're doing is very disrespectful to the country, this country.
Have you said thank you once this entire meeting? No, in this entire meeting, have you said thank you?
Yes.
I gave you the javelins to take out all those tanks. You got to be more thankful. The problem is I've empowered you to be a tough guy. And I don't think you'd be a tough guy without the United States. And your people are very brave. But you're either going to make a deal or we're out. And if we're out, you'll fight it out. I don't think it's going to be pretty, but you'll fight it out. But you don't have the cards. But once we sign that deal, you're in a much better position. But you're not acting at all thankful. And that's not a nice thing. I'll be honest, that's not a nice thing. All right, I think we've seen enough. What do you think?
Huh?
This is going to be great television, I will say that.
Great television for who? Because the only person not moved to more than a slight bit of terror after listening to that was Vlad the Putator. Probably because he wrote the script. Oh, and the fact that the White House press embarrassment Thin Lips Levitt chose to have a member of TASS, a Russian state media outlet, in the Oval during the High Sea in Chief and J.D. Mascara's way off-Broadway performance, which was giving.
True.
Well, Christine, this is a lovely house.
It's Christineth. Are you stupid or are you deaf?
Christineth! You idiot! You come to our house, you get my wife's name right!
What?
Christineth!
With all that, Zelensky isn't grateful enough because he only said thank you about twice at the beginning of the meeting, and who can remember that? And clutch my pearls, not wearing a suit in the Oval, which is apparently one of the most offensive things you can do, unless you're a billionaire hopped up on ketamine who's infiltrating the U.S. government, then it's okay to go sad goth boy in the White House. And it's been suggested that Zelensky's outfit, which he's been wearing for a while now, when attending high-profile events is actually armored clothing. By the way, that makes a fuckton more sense to me than using your four-year-old as a human shield, unless you're abandoning them during the stage left exit at a maggot rally.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
Oh, and let's not forget that bullshit Elderly Julius said about how Ukraine has to sign away all of their rare earth mineral rights for nothing. The deal old Donald proposed that Ukraine has to give away an estimated $12 trillion in resources with no guarantees that the United States could continue to aid Ukraine and no compromises on the part of Russia. Just Ukraine giving away their financial future to the Dollar Tree dictator and Russia's munchkin king. And for what? Eric's dad seems to think Ukraine owes the United States $350 billion, which is actually $174 billion according to facts. So how did the lumbering lardass come to $350 billion? Well, 174 times 2 is 348. So there's that. And just for shits and giggles, the EU has given $18 billion more to Ukraine than the United States. And 70% of the aid the United States has provided to Ukraine was spent here in America and employing over 45,000 Americans who work in weapons manufacturing. Oh, did the lying orange conveniently forget to mention his mantrum cost Americans future employment and earnings?
You didn't see that coming?
Not to mention that this whole exchange with 11 heads of state holding an emergency, holy shit, in Kyiv to have a chat with Zelensky about what the fuck everyone's gonna do next. Now that the United States is joining the Legion of Doom along with Russia and North Korea, otherwise known as the Three Shmageggies, which makes us...
I'm the bad guy.
Duh.
Ugh. God fucking damn it. No wonder this was going on days before Zelensky showed up to a Russian-style ambush in the Oval.
The U.S. sided with Russia against Ukraine and our European allies at the United Nations and suggested he could visit Russia for talks.
Breaking ranks with those European allies, joining Russia and North Korea, among others, in opposing a resolution that calls for Russia to withdraw from all occupied territory in Ukraine. The U.S. instead proposed a separate resolution avoiding territorial language, mirroring recent Trump administration suggestions that Ukraine may have to cede land to get peace.
Trump rekindles relations with the Russian president, refusing to call him a dictator, a word he used to falsely describe Ukraine's President Zelensky.
I don't use those words lightly. I think that we're going to see how it all works out.
Emmanuel Macron warning President Trump not to trust Putin, reminding him what happened the last time Russia agreed a ceasefire with Ukraine.
I can tell you by experience, it was violated every time by Russia.
Friedrich Merz, the guy who just won Germany's national election and is on track to become the next chancellor. Merz had this message for Trump, quote, "My absolute priority will be to strengthen Europe as quickly as possible so that step by step we can really achieve independence from the USA." After Donald Trump's statements last week, it is clear that this government does not care much about the fate of Europe.
Well, hindsight is 2020, and boy, is this so crystal clear that we don't need glasses to see that Man-Boob Mussolini and the hillbilly sectional in charge of America are the worst decision that Americans have made in modern times. So thanks, maggots. And while we're on the subject of the 77.2 million morons in this country whose life choices are a danger to the rest of us and the globe, why not start with a little exposition in musical form, thanks to the lyrical stylings of New York Republican Rep. Mike Lawler.
Donald Trump lives by one song. It was a Beach Boys hit back in the day. Aruba, Jamaica, Panama, I'm gonna take ya. Bermuda, Bahama, Greenland, come home to your mama. Key Largo, Toronto, Trudeau, why don't we go? Off the Mediterranean Sea. There's a place called Gaza Lago. That's where we've gotta go. to get some USAID.
Okay.
Look at New York Mike over there giving Weird Al a run for his parody. Making colonization funny again, and don't feel guilty for chuckling along with the song. We've all got to do something to stay sane while the American experiment dies thanks to Republicans.
Okay, the rule book's been torn up now, and America is wiping its nasty ass with it.
For example, free speech is out the window because not only is it totally embarrassing knowing everyone is making fun of you all the time, how can you run a successful dictatorship when you've got members of Congress going into committee meetings being filmed for the 10 or 12 people who actually watch C-SPAN and saying hilarious shit like, Trump is a grifter, so many times?
Republican Chairman James Comer threatened to forcibly remove Democratic Congressman Maxwell Frost after Comer initially barred Frost from speaking for repeatedly calling President Trump, quote, grifter in chief.
People like the grifter in chief Trump and President Musk are openly using their public offices to enrich themselves to the tune of billions of dollars. Why is there complete silence on the other side of the aisle about looking at the complete grifter that is the president of the United States and the richest man on the earth?
Would you like to revise your remark with respect to improperly identifying the president of the United States?
I'll say President Musk and grifter and cheap Trump.
All right. You're going to maybe revise the disparaging comment about the president because that's supposed to be our decorum here.
President Musk and the president of the United States, Donald Trump, who is engaged in grifting of the American people.
There's a pending motion for disparaging the president. The member is barred from further participation.
I want to say it's despicable that this committee is going to silence me for bringing
the
up
the gentleman's Frost, words have been Mr. taken Frost, down. He's not permitted Frost. To speak for the rest of the hearing.
Making millions of dollars.
Mr. Ranking Member, I'm going to have the Sergeant Arms remove him if he doesn't refrain.
Does anyone else think it's more about impotent rage the way Kentucky's very own corporate crony of a rep, James Comer, went from zero to arrest this man for calling my friend a word that accurately describes him but makes me angry when he says it out loud? And let's not forget last week, you know, the DOJ writing California Congressman Robert Garcia a nasty gram because he called Adolf Hitler a dick, which he is, by the way. And it seems to me Republicans and their dear leader are using the federal government to silence anyone who speaks out, including their constituents who've been yelling and booing them during town halls for the last several weeks. Video after video has gone viral showing voters who went maggot in the last election loudly complaining about federal workers being fired, social benefits they rely on being stripped away, and the price of eggs has gone up by 40% since my incompetent took over. But if you ask the smallest Johnson to ever be Speaker of the House about this backlash and the voters' remorse going on, he'll come up with a conspiracy to explain it all away.
Because the videos you saw of the town halls were for paid protesters in many of those places. These are Democrats who went to the events early and filled up the seats. If the videos had panned
outside the
building...
You can't argue they were
building,
all paid protesters, though, Mr. Speaker.
Many of
what
them
are your,
were.
What,
I don't
Republican
know.
We acknowledged they were his constituents.
One Republican acknowledged they were his constituents. That's fantastic. Okay, but they had Democrats come and fill the seats early, all right? This is an old playbook that they pulled out and ran, and it made it look like that what is happening in Washington is unpopular.
I hope every person who attended those town halls hears Bullshit Johnson's words, claiming that you are a paid protester and not a concerned constituent voicing your First Amendment right to yell at your congressional representative for cowering to an unelected bureaucrat who got a job in the Trump administration because he spent $290 million and suspiciously knew 4 hours in advance before anyone else did that his investment had won the election. And since then, the ketamine cowboy has been threatening federal workers with his Project 2025 sidekick over in the Office of Budget and Management with emails asking how everyone's doing. Oh, wait, no. Asking them to describe their existence or justify it. Which prompted a federal judge to agree that labor unions are right and this kind of shit might work in the corporate world, but federal workers have rights. So they get to keep their jobs. Especially when hundreds of them have been fired for performance issues before they even had their first performance review. So President Musk decided to double down.
Elon Musk doubling down on his ultimatum to federal workers to explain what they did last week or face termination.
This is becoming whiplash for federal workers.
Musk issued a new threat.
Musk not backing down, posting on social media that workers can't expect that email to go out again, writing failure to respond a second time will result in termination.
The impact of this email that went out to 2.3 million federal workers. And who gets to judge whether or not it is sufficient enough of what they're doing that would amount to keeping their job or not, or being semi-fired?
Well, it certainly shouldn't be a disrespectful South African who wears T-shirts and baseball caps that don't fit his hair plug-ridden head in the Oval and during cabinet meetings. Besides, Phony Stark isn't even running douche, according to court filings, where the lawyer representing Trump's unqualified excuse for an administration told an actual judge he doesn't know who the fuck is running that place. And the media started chatting about this strange fact in public, writing articles about it, and discussing this odd fact on podcasts, like me. Even asking failed gold digger KKK Caroline Levitt, who married a rich old dude but somehow still has to work for a living, does she know who the fuck's running douche?
A federal judge yesterday was saying that they didn't know who the DOGE administrator was and was asking, and the lawyer responded, I don't know the answer to that. Can you tell us who the administrator of DOGE is?
Elon Musk is overseeing DOGE. There are career officials. No, Elon Musk is a special government employee, which I've also been asked and have answered that question as well. Not going to reveal the name of that individual from this podium.
Many hours later.
After weeks of mystery, the White House quietly named Amy Gleason as the acting advisor of DOGE. Gleason hasn't commented on her role, and it remains unclear when she was appointed or how much power she actually holds.
She worked in the first Trump administration, and she has significant ties to Nashville. Most recently, she worked at two Nashville-based healthcare startups.
The next day.
Exactly.
Amy Gleason has been the DOGE administrator for quite some time, I believe several weeks, maybe a month. I'm not actually sure of the specific timeline.
DOGE staffers told us yesterday that they found out about her being the administrator yesterday. Why is that?
Everybody knew, and we said who she was to all of you because you are hounds in the media who are so obsessed with this for some reason. So in the effort of transparency, we told you who that person is.
Well, well, well. The press starts asking who's in charge of the made-up government department that's actually a rebranded department in order to justify its existence because even their lawyers don't know. And magically, Amy Gleason, whose background is in Nashville healthcare startups, is now the administrator of the Imagination Station for the Cybercuck. A position she found herself in the same day that Bitch Levitt announced her name to the press. And by that I mean, it is a coincidence that for the last month and a half, no one at Douche or anyone in the press, including Amy herself, knew that she was running Douche. And she finds out after a phone call from Leviosa herself, bugging Amy on her vacay to Mexico. Which poses its own plethora of questions like, when Amy booked her Mexican vacay, did she not see the irony that she works for a regime that's trying to economically conquer her favorite spot to get away? Are these people even self-aware? Because I can't be the only one who's wondering.
Sold all our identities
another thing. I know there's delusional hope out there in Megalodon corners of the internet for some kind of cash now that the pungent Elon Musk has saved, you know, so many hundreds of billions that actually only turned out to be 278 million because that's how math works, but who's counting? And something apparently Elon Schmuck knows little to nothing about. Or does he? Take that $5,000 or $8,000 douche check everyone is supposedly receiving because apartheid Clyde saved so much money by hostily taking over our government and calling that efficiency, which leaves the MAGA morons salivating at this kind of cash because let's be honest, the poorly educated are convinced of anything if there's a cash prize involved. I mean, have you even seen Beast Games? But for the rest of us, we know this is a scam that will actually drive up inflation higher and higher and negate any financial gain we hope to receive from those checks. Roll tape.
President Trump says some of the money apparently saved by the Department of Government Efficiency's cost-cutting efforts could be given back to Americans as stimulus checks, giving 20% of DOGE savings to citizens.
Elon has a long history of over-promising and under-delivering. True savings are only known years later.
The purpose of this is perhaps something else. Is this more of a sales pitch?
If you want to get the American people behind the Department of Government Efficiency, say we're going to give you a large check. But from an economic point of view, it makes no sense. Giving people large checks is going to cause inflation to go even higher. And if we're going to have tariffs on imported goods and we're having supply constraints, more spending with less items means prices just go up. So on one hand, the president hands people money, and on the other hand, inflation takes that money away.
Did you all get that? Starting March 4th, tariffs on Canada and Mexico will begin, and that is 25% increases on already inflated prices. Then add to that China's tariffs going up 20%. And you've got more of, we cannot even afford the shit in the first place, on everything from necessities to all that shit we have at the bottom of our wish lists and groceries, car parts, you name it. You're going to be priced out of affording to live. And kiss construction on new affordable homes goodbye, because if you can't afford to fix your own house, how's a construction company going to afford to build you a new one? Not to mention that home ownership is a concern for the Project 2025 gang up on Capitol Hill, who've come up with a diabolical way of taking every program designed to help Americans without actually doing it, or so they thought.
Everybody is committed to preserving Medicare benefits for those who desperately need it and deserve it and qualify for it. What we're talking about is rooting out the fraud, waste, and abuse, except the Democrats who have ads out that are lying about the intention here. Do a word search for yourself. It doesn't even mention Medicaid in the bill. So that's the important part.
The Republicans just pulled a really clever trick into cutting Americans' health care without anybody knowing. Here's what they did. Now, it's true that the Republican budget doesn't expressly make cuts to Medicaid and food stamps, but what it does do is mandate cuts to certain committees. So, for example, the Energy and Commerce Committee is forced to cut $880 billion from its budget. That is the committee that oversees Medicaid. The Agriculture Committee is being forced to cut $230 billion. That is the committee that oversees food stamps.
And I bet Mikey and the Republicans thought that they were oh so clever when they came up with this bullshit idea to vote to give congressional committees a target number and then let them cut Medicare, Medicaid, SNAP, housing vouchers, anything else that they call fraud, waste, and abuse. Because that's how reverse engineering works, folks. And not for nothing, but this new tagline, waste, fraud, and abuse, it's obviously to mean any benefit that helps Americans afford to exist in this country, like military families that rely on SNAP benefits to feed their families because the U.S. military does not pay a living wage. Or how about the tens of thousands of invisible federal workers that take home less than $100,000 a year in paychecks that, according to Marge the Goblin from Georgia and headmistress of the douche committee, they don't even deserve to get paid for what they do. And if you think that's batshit, wait till you get a load of what Mar-a-Lago said about America's invisible workforce.
You know why he wanted that, by the way? I thought it was great. Because we have people that don't show up to work and nobody even knows that they work for the government. So by asking the question, tell us what you did this week, what he's doing is saying, are you actually working? And then if you don't answer, like, you're sort of semi-fired or you're fired, because a lot of people are not answering because they don't even exist. So I think it was actually, there was a lot of genius in sending it. We're trying to find out if people are working. If people don't respond, it's very possible that there is no such person or they're not working.
I am trying so hard, but I really can't even with this masterclass and shouldn't have done that. Because between his box blonde taxidermied rat on his head that barely covers his wrinkled old man head, and the fact that just because he hasn't seen every single federal worker, he thinks they're not real is giving.
I don't give two fucks, but I am telling you right now, that motherfucker back there is not real.
Meanwhile, the unemployment rate is about to hit the fan, just in time for everything to cost at least 25% more. But please tell me again how H.G. Wells was warning us about the dangers of employees that you can't see. Or perhaps it's just because none of the Project 2025 Brigade can even see poor people. Like, literally. How else can you explain the new immigration deal the presidents came up with?
We're going to be selling a gold card. You have a green card. This is a gold card. We're going to be putting a price on that card of about $5 million, and that's going to give you green card privileges plus. It's going to be a route to citizenship.
Exactly. So the EB-5 program, you lend some money, but it was a way to get a green card that was low price. And the EB-5 program, we're going to replace it with the Trump gold card, which is really a green card gold, so they'll be able to pay $5 million to the U.S. government.
A Russian oligarch be eligible for a gold card?
Yeah, possibly. Hey, I know some Russian oligarchs that are very nice people. It's possible. They're not quite as wealthy as they used to be. I think they can afford. I think they can afford $5 million. The sale will start in about 2 weeks.
You know, listening to that chucklehead in the background, having a gay old time over the idea of Russian oligarchs paying $5 million to hang out within the United States, because where else are you going to go when there's an international warrant out for your arrest? Oh, and don't forget about all the yachts and enough furniture to fill a home some celebrity is looking to offload, like Orpa Stingy or Jeff the dick-shaped rocketeer Bezos. That's exactly what America needs right now. An ever-expanding billionaire class to rule over the 340-plus million Americans who are just trying to survive. And all the more reason for us to display a healthy amount of malicious compliance whenever possible. Like this woman from Wyoming, who did a Zoom call with her state legislature.
Next up is Britt.
Hello. Thank you, Madam Chairman. As the Senate overwhelmingly voted yes.
You can call me Mr. Chairman if you want.
Well, I cannot be compelled to use your preferred pronouns as you have all voted.
Wait a minute. We're talking about preferred pronouns. A lot of people are. I prefer to be called Chairman French. That's my preferred pronoun.
I know. And you all voted that preferred pronouns cannot be compelled speech in SF-77.
Ma'am, I don't know who you are, but you're my hero for bringing snark and being a conduit for karma, because I think that is something we should all strive for in these trying times. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show, This Week Again, on social media, platforms like Blue Sky, Threads, Insta, or Facebook. And we are always available for your listening pleasure. Places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Tadir for now.
These are difficult times. And if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners. Because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com or wherever podcasts are heard.